couple of announcements I realized that I didn't share with Corinne here. There will be no meditation group on Wednesday evening at 6, so we're skipping that this week. And we usually have a drop-in Zoom gathering at 7:30 on Thursdays, and we will not have that this week. Next week, we may talk about Thanksgiving, but this week, both of those gatherings are not going to happen. Peggy Bell brought these flowers. Actually, it was Dan Hunter who made this arrangement, right? So thank you to Dan. And of course, as always, Sharon and Corinne, thank you for leading the service. And I should add that 2 weeks ago, I mentioned quite happily how much work Jody does in the office, because she had turned all the clocks back the day before the service. And I realized, and I felt kind of guilty about the fact that I did not mention our other incredible staff member, who is Amy, who's sitting up there. I'll get to Bill in a second. But Amy, in particular, has been our music director for quite some time. She and others helped us get organized for the year, almost a year and a half of remote services that we did. And Amy, you are a true, incredible blessing to this community. So thank you for being here. And then I'll also add Bill, who has been faithfully doing the sound system this year and puts up with my, am I wired yet? Am I turned on yet? And he just smiles and gets everything organized. So thank you, Bill. Can we agree that the last 2 years have been a bit testy, anxious, a time of turmoil? Would you say turmoil? Yeah, just a bit. Our understanding of what normal life was like was turned upside down by the pandemic, and probably in the future, the climate crisis, and certainly in this country, the racial reckoning, not only in this country, but also Canada. It's tempting to say it's all bad news. That's what we got hit with every day on TV and the news, on the internet, and so on. It's just been really bad. I'm going to suggest otherwise, though, that there were many positive things that happened despite the many deaths, the overwhelmed medical staffs, first responders, and so many other people who could not isolate at home. They had to keep working. I asked various friends from here and other places if they could think of some things that we could be thankful for from the last 2 years for this Thanksgiving. Here are some of them. Now, I imagine you can think of others, and these aren't in a particular sequence of importance or not. I'm just doing them one after the other. And you probably know of others as well, but I didn't think of them. Accessibility. We, most of us, learned, sometimes with great hesitation, how to use FaceTime, Zoom, Skype, and other media to stay in touch with other people we could not see or visit. Now, granted that there's a good deal of Zoom fatigue at this point, but the switch to all virtual events allowed people who frequently cannot attend because of disability or distance or other reasons that they can be present for part of our gatherings. And that was something new, I think, for us. We learned here at this church how to do virtual Zoom services, thanks largely to Amy and our hired tech person, Kirsten Hauser, and others, starting about a year and a quarter ago. It just seems to go off in the distance, and I don't remember the exact date. It was helpful for people, and I think of somebody like Cynthia Burton, who had to stay at home, but she could attend meetings and Sunday services without leaving her home. We had other people who were largely having to stay at home because of age or other reasons, who then we trained how to use Zoom and became part of our community, even from afar. Our board and our worship committee meetings were and still are online and continue to this day. The nice thing about it is nobody has to leave their homes. Can we possibly continue to do versions of hybrid services, adult RE classes, for example, so that people do not have to drive at night or who cannot attend our annual Christmas Eve service? Can we do some form of live streaming for that service, for example, so that if you're in Florida or you're someplace else and you certainly can't be here, but you want to be here, excuse me, a technical problem. I know that's my partner Deborah, but she can wait. People who can't drive at night or who have other needs to stay at home, it would be really wonderful if they could join us for Christmas Eve virtually. And remember, last year we did Christmas Eve virtually, and I think we pulled it off. But this year, at least, we will be together in person for the most part. So accessibility, I think, is a really key part of our future as a congregation. Not just people who show up every Sunday, but all those people who would like to be here but can't. Another one is, and I titled it, Scientific Quick Response. Think back to March of 2020, when the world changed. COVID was an unknown word and then became the reality. What astonishes me still is that we, as people, performed some remarkable feats of science with vaccines ready in less than a year. Multiple countries and scientists cooperated to create effective vaccines across borders and political persuasions. Many experts said that the existence of the internet and speedy communication helped create and use the vaccine effectively to this day. And what I wonder if the coordination and cooperation between not just scientists, but people in general, to rapidly come up with solutions to the pandemic are foundation to other situations in the future, and I think the climate crisis and potentially other pandemics, where we learn how to resolve them, to solve those problems more quickly because of the foundation we've laid in the last 2 years. This one I think is really important. Many medical and fast food and grocery staff left their positions. They were fed up, and they did something about it. We've probably heard of the Great Resignation, with capital letters, of this year. Some people who have heard about people leaving their jobs have said, well, they're just lazy people, and they're just living off the government with the stimulus packages and the unemployment, et cetera, et cetera, and they're just plain old lazy. And maybe that's true for some people, many of whom haven't had sick leave, time with family, vacation time, or other benefits of equitable employment. If you were making $10 an hour, would you stay? Many others decided that they couldn't take the hassle of customers and patients who abused them emotionally and physically, and mostly out of anxiety and anger. Bradford, Pennsylvania, was an example of fast food employees and managers walking out together in order to protest their pay and lack of benefits. And they did find better jobs. Are the benefits of the demands of low-paid employees a good example of the supply and demand principles of capitalism? You pay people more, you give them respect, and give them benefits like health insurance and reasonable personal time off, and you're going to have happier employees. They will also be happier if we treat them, we customers, treat them with respect because they deserve it. Greater awareness of the racial reckoning, especially in this country, but also Canada and many other countries, but I'm speaking of here now. The pandemic coincided with and is deeply involved with another great awakening in America about systemic racism and oppression. The coronavirus itself laid bare inequality in everything from healthcare to food access to education. Most of the people who live around us do not have the opportunity to say, I'm just staying at home. The construction workers out there, the people who are working at the grocery stores, so many others were forced to work. People who were marginalized in the past, people along the gender spectrum, people who are black and brown. We now understand more fully, thanks to the terrible videos that we've seen, we now understand more fully what their lives and what their story and what their history has been all about, and they keep waiting for us to do something about it. So how will we move forward with the racial and equality issues that are more visible to us right now? Are we able to affect change by our actions as well as our words? And I speak as an individual, but I think of churches, I think of this community, and really, of course, the entire nation. Another seemingly bad thing, but had some good aspects to it, the climate crisis. It came home to us as a world and nation in the last 2 years. We sat at home and we watched fierce fires in the North American West, Australia, Greece, France, Spain, Italy, and in Siberia, just to name a few. Torrential downpours happened all over the world, including here in Pennsylvania. Heat waves broke all records for the Pacific Northwest, where I'm from, as well as many other parts of the world, including Greenland. Such major existential crisis as the climate crisis is, will probably not be pushed from the top of governments until they are forced to. The major changes and demands to come to terms with this crisis is going to come from the bottom up, which means us, which means in the next 5, 10, 15, 20 years, we and our children and grandchildren we'll have to speak our voices and make our demands, because otherwise, it's not going to work. Here's one that might be a little pleasurable. No one is knocking on doors. Nobody knocked on our doors to get survey information, share their religion, or encourage us to vote for them. In the old days, and we probably remember the old days, people were always knocking on our doors. We had to make face-to-face contact with everyone from delivery drivers to political people to people who were missionaries. And it would get old after a while. So the question is, do we need to interact with strangers at our doorstep? Can we look through the peephole and say, no, I don't want to speak to that person? Well, that's a big question for us, because sometimes people come to our door and they're actually very nice. So it's going to be a challenge. Working from home. The pandemic made many of us stay home in isolation, and still does. We worked from home. We decided to do room house repairs that had been put off for ages, and we finally looked at them one time too many and said, that's it, I'm going out and fix it myself, which usually led to more repairs. We learned to cook in new ways. Some of us, not me, but some of us binge-watched the 31 years of the weekly Simpsons shows on TV because suddenly they were all very popular again. And I know a lot of people, including some here, who did a certain degree of binge-watching, especially of the baking shows in England. How much can you learn by binging TV, that is? Spending time with people we love. For many people, the pandemic has forced us to get much closer to family and friends who are precious to us. Maybe it was our immediate family. Maybe it was your church. Maybe it was people at where you worked and you had to work remotely. I don't know. But as the pandemic hopefully winds down, one thing we need to not forget are those precious, wonderful people who sometimes we may not like very much, our family, our friends, our church companions, and how they have brought us through months and now years of anxiety and fear. Finally, when I was applying here, oh my gosh, it was almost 2.5 years ago, seems like a long time, when I was applying here to be considered as your contract minister, somebody in the hierarchy of the UUA, Unitarian Universalist Association, said to my question, well, how's Meadville? How's the church? And the person said, they deeply love their history. And that's good. I mean, we have a bicentennial coming up in 4 years. And this building was built in 1836. That's a lot to be proud of. But what the pandemic did is it forced us out of our traditional ways of doing church. I mentioned earlier we had to learn to use Zoom and other social media to be together. Our old ways of doing Sunday services, even no singing, can't happen for a while. Can we find ways to reach out like Stone Church does every Sunday, not just to have people there in person, but to be able to run the service live streamed on social media, Facebook, and so on, for not just Sunday services, but concerts, celebrations, and more, so that we're not stuck inside this building, but we reach out to the larger world. Your board and worship committee have worked very hard to create a new vision for this church as you near the bicentennial. A lot of things won't change. Caring for one another, having potlucks like the one after church today, where there will be social distancing, by the way. Having a dedicated staff like Amy and Jody and Bill and Chuck and last, me. The question in front of us now is, how, why, and when do we want this congregation to be visible and vital in Northwest Pennsylvania, not just Meadville, but this area around Meadville where we have people who are dedicated church members, like Sue, for example, who are going to be part of our community. And I can guarantee you, there are hundreds of people in the 20, 30 miles around us who probably would love to come here, but they don't know we exist. Yes, the pandemic has been tragic, we know it. Most of us know people who have become ill or died from COVID. A number of you here have had COVID. It is certainly unpleasant. But what we have done is begin to realize how essential we are to one another. From the checkout clerk to the person who teaches our children, to the people who plan Sunday services here in this church, to our interfaith association, where even though we have very different religious views from one another, as clergy and chaplains, we reach out and take care of one another no matter what. That's kindness. And kindness is, to me, the bottom line word that we must not only do together, but show how it can be done in a world that is filled with pain and fear and anger. As the Dalai Lama said, always, always try to be kind. And he said, everything else goes from there. So let us be kind. Sometimes it may not work. Sometimes we may not want to be kind, and that's okay. But we're in community. We're not isolated beings just wandering around the world. We need each other, we care for each other, and if nothing else, the pandemic has showed us how desperately that and we are needed. May it be so.